From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news, and stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Indonesia Digital Test House must collaborate with universities and MSMEs. Foreigners' visit to Indonesia in March 2024 has reached 1.04 million tourists. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo hopes the opening of the Indonesia Digital Test House will become not only a certification test site and a procurement tool site, but also strengthen the local digital ecosystem. This was conveyed by President Joko Widodo when giving a speech at the inauguration of the Indonesia Digital Test House on Tuesday morning at the Telecommunications Device Testing Center in Tapos, Depok, West Java. Indonesia Digital Testing House is the largest and most complete digital and telecommunications device testing center in Southeast Asia.
Oleh karena itu, saya minta.
Therefore, the President asked the Ministry of Communication and Information to continue to encourage IDTH become a center for research and development and research cooperating with universities, startups, micro, small and medium enterprises, encourage research and patents to support the development of testing and certification of local products so that domestic digital device products can compete.
Moreover, Indonesia Digital Test House was built on an area of 22,000 meters at a cost of 1 trillion rupiah, or about $62 million. The facility consists of 12 testing laboratories for various electronic devices with the latest technology, which are operated by competent professionals in the field of testing and calibration using international methods and standards. The number of foreigners visit to Indonesia in March 2024 reached 1.04 million tourists. It rose up 19.86% compared to March 2023. This was conveyed by Indonesian Tourism and Creative Economy Minister Sandiaga Uno at the weekly brief with Sandi Uno in Jakarta on Monday. Minister Sandiaga revealed that the total number of foreign tourists in January to March 2024 reached 3.03 million visits, an increase of 25.43% compared to the same period last year. According to Sandiaga, this figure shows that Indonesia is on the right track to achieve the target of more than 14.3 million foreign tourist visits in 2024.
Dan kalau kita lihat kunjungan wisman,
if we look at foreign tourist visits compared January to March 2023, and there was an increase of 25.43%. Thus, we are on track and in which the government wants to target 14.3 million more foreign tourist visits.
Kunjungan wisatawan mancanegara.
Furthermore, Minister Sandiaga explained that Malaysian tourists dominated visits in March 2024, followed by Australia, Singapore, and China. Sandiaga also stated the number of foreign tourist visits was driven mainly by an increase in visits at the Ngurah Rai International Airport entrance in Bali by 31.5% and Soekarno-Hatta International Airport in Banten by 33%. Still from the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy that wants to invite more tourists from Saudi Arabia to travel to Indonesia. Because in terms of numbers, Saudi Arabian tourist visits to Indonesia are 10 times smaller than the number of Indonesian tourists to Saudi Arabia. This was said by Indonesian Tourism and Creative Economy Minister Sandiaga Uno at the weekly brief with Sandi Uno in Jakarta on Monday. He also said to increase the number of tourist visits from Saudi Arabia, the ministry is working to make empty airplane seats after transporting pilgrims can be filled with Saudi Arabian tourists. According to Sandiaga, the ministry is currently lobbying Garuda and Saudi Arabian Airlines and making attractive tour packages for Saudi Arabian tourists. We are working on so that empty airplane seats after transporting pilgrims can be filled with Saudi Arabian tourists, because so far they are empty. We are lobbying Garuda National Airlines and Saudi Arabia Airlines, so this can be filled with attractive packages for tourists from Saudi Arabia, who like natural tourism, beaches, mountains, and also tours related to nature.
Dan juga wisata-wisata yang berkaitan dengan alam.
Moreover, Minister Sandiaga Uno further has explained that for Saudi Arabian tourists, the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy offers Ubud in Bali, Lake Toba in North Sumatra, and cooler tourist destinations which are the favorites of Saudi Arabian tourists. Sandiaga Uno also hopes Saudi Arabian tourists who come to Indonesia will stay longer, about more than 1 to 2 weeks, so they can shop in the local economy to activate business fields and create jobs. The last national news comes from Secretary General of the Indonesian Online Journalists Association, or IWO, Telly Natalia, who expressed deep sympathy for the deaths of journalists around the world who have been covering war in recent years. This was said by Telly after the commemoration of World Press Freedom Day and 38 years of the Chernobyl disaster, organized by the Ukrainian Embassy in Indonesia and the Association at the Youth Pledge Museum in Jakarta on Monday. Telly has further said the past year has been a difficult time for journalists due to the intimidation and threats to their lives that they have faced. Let's say our friends become victims, and this is the risk of the job. Therefore, she said earlier not to forget that our safety comes first. At this year's World Press Freedom Day, it has been a tough year for journalists around the world. There are many cases of journalists when they did investigative reporting, they were intimidated.
Di seluruh dunia, banyak kasus teman-teman wartawan ketika melakukan pemberitaan-pemberitaan investigatif kemudian diintimidasi.
Moreover, Telly, at a discussion titled Journalists in Reporting Humanism Issues, which was part of the commemoration, affirmed the importance of promoting humanistic values and a sense of empathy in reporting, especially when covering war and social issues. In addition, she emphasized the safety of journalists are the main things, so that journalists can help others they meet and disseminate information to people. Now we move to the international news. Chinese President Xi Jinping has hailed new vistas in China's relationship with France on his first trip to Europe in 5 years. As reported by BBC.com, Xi Jinping will be looking to avert the trade war that is looming with Brussels, driven by fears of cheap Chinese electric vehicles entering the European market. The West also accuses China of helping Vladimir Putin wage war in Ukraine by supplying technology and equipment for the Russian military. Both issues echo Washington's words of warning to him in recent weeks, but it is not what Xi Jinping wants his own people or indeed those in France to hear. Next, we have the United Nations General Assembly that could vote on Friday on a draft resolution that would recognize the Palestinians as qualified to become a full UN member and recommend that the United Nations Security Council reconsider the matter favorably. As reported by ArabNews.com, it would effectively act as a global survey of how much support the Palestinians have for their bid, which was vetoed in the UN Security Council last month by the United States. We end the news with Thai Prime Minister Sreta Thavisin, who said on Tuesday the government would keep diesel prices at up to 33 baht, or 89 cents US dollar, per liter to help ease living costs. As quoted by ChannelNews.com, he also said a nationwide daily minimum wage hike to 400 baht was necessary to help workers and the economy. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, today's commentary focuses on ministerial candidates at Prabowo-Gibran cabinet. Following the Constitutional Court verdict to reject all of the claims in the 2024 presidential election dispute, Prabowo Subianto and Gibran Rakabuming Raka are now preparing to form their cabinet team members in the government that will serve for the 2024-2029 period. Both of them will be inaugurated in October 2024 as the President and Vice President of Indonesia. But before they are inaugurated, the issues of who will become ministers have become an interesting issue. Names of candidates have been circulating on social media and at important meetings. However, one of the most important comments regarding the ministerial candidates arose from the coordinating minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan. According to Minister Luhut, Prabowo Subianto doesn't need to bring toxic or problematic people into his cabinet. Luhut's statement has become a byword among political elites and observers. They are guessing and looking for who the toxic people are. Moreover, the Nasdem Party and the National Awakening Party, or PKB, will join the coalition. As we know, these two parties supported presidential candidate number 01. Regarding toxic people, it can lead anywhere, both to coalition and non-coalition supporting parties. In addition, the sense of competition to present each political party's candidate at the Prabowo-Gibran cabinet is also strong. Each political party certainly doesn't want to lose its position at the cabinet. However, some political parties, such as the National Mandate Party or PAN, do not mind losing their ministerial posts at the cabinet, especially with the planned entry of Nasdem and PKB. According to PAN Deputy Chairperson Viva Yoga Mauladi, his side will follow the direction of the president-elect because it is the president's prerogative right. Meanwhile, the Democrat Party, one of the coalition supporters, is not worried that its seats at the upcoming cabinet will be reduced. Democrat Chairperson Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono said the Democrats have confidence that the commitments will be carried out well by the supporting party's coalition led by Prabowo. In connection with the mapping and the upcoming ministerial candidate selection, many political observers have reminded President and Vice President-elect Prabowo Subianto and Gibran Rakabuming Raka that the formation of the cabinet is not a place for solely power sharing. Because if it is only based on power sharing calculations, it will have a negative impact on the wheels of government, especially if the supporting political parties offer non-credible and problematic candidates and they are not chosen based on meritocracy principle. So what Ministerial Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said about toxic people should be taken into account by Prabowo as the prerogative holder. Therefore, the importance of the principles of transparency, accountability, credibility, and good governance are important in the selection of ministers who will support the upcoming cabinet. Moreover, the challenges ahead are more complex, where the threat of economic crisis and world economic growth is slowing down due to the Ukraine-Russia crisis and the Middle East situation along with climate change problems. Well, listener, that was the commentary read by Ahmad Faisal.
We begin with the day in history with May 7, 1945, Germany surrenders to the Allies. On May 7, 1945, Germany surrendered to the Allies in World War II in Europe. The surrender also ended the Second World War. Germany's surrender was marked by the signing of an instrument of agreement in Karlshorst, Berlin, between the representative of German troops with the Allied Expeditionary Force and the High Command of the Red Army, as well as additional representatives from France and United States. The signing started on May the 7th in Reims, and May the 8th is then known as the European Victory Day. Moving on to the next one, on 7th of May 1949, the signing of Rome-Royan Agreement. The Rome-Royan Agreement is an agreement between Indonesia and the Netherlands. This agreement was initiated from April 14, 1949 until it was signed on May 7, 1949 at Das Indus Hotel, Jakarta. The name of the agreement was named after the leaders of the two countries' delegation, namely Muhammad Rohm from Indonesia and Herman van Rooyen from Netherlands. The agreement aims to resolve several problems regarding Indonesian independence before the Round Table Conference in The Hague. We end with May 7, 1992, the launching of Space Shuttle Endeavour. An Endeavour NASA Space Shuttle fleet was launched. Endeavour was the fifth and the last space shuttle built by NASA. After 19 years of operation, the space shuttle Endeavour finally completed its flight on June 1, 2011. Endeavour landed at Kennedy Space Center and was donated to California Science Center in Los Angeles. And that's today in history.
Let me be your Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on digital economy, a priority in Indonesia-Brazil cooperation. Indonesia wants to deepen cooperation with Brazil in shared priority areas, one of which is the digital economy. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Trade Jerry Sambuaga conveyed this when accompanying the Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto to meet the Brazilian Minister of Foreign Affairs Mauro Vieira. The meeting was held on the sidelines of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development OECD ministerial meeting in Paris, France on Friday. The press release from the Ministry of Trade Monday stated that cooperation in emerging areas of mutual priority and operationalizing action plans for 2023-2026 had been agreed upon at the Indonesia-Brazil Bilateral Consultation Forum in May 2023. Indonesia's priority areas include sustainable agriculture, clean energy, the digital economy, and building a new capital city. Jerry Sambuaga explained that in a meeting with Foreign Minister Mauro Vieira, Indonesia explained that Southeast Asia, including Indonesia, had a future agenda to grow the digital economy. The sector could double in value to $2 trillion by 2030, which offers significant opportunities for collaboration and growth. He said Indonesia and Brazil could increase activities in digital technology and innovation cooperation. As chair of ASEAN 2023, Indonesia has also obtained an agreement to develop the Asian Digital Economy Framework Agreement to advance digitalization and interoperability. As a large trading country, Indonesia not only has economic interests, but also a commitment to maintaining rule-based multilateral trade and investment, fair competition, and an inclusive and resilient global partnership. Deputy Minister of Trade Jerry Sambuaga believes that strong relations with Brazil are the key to building a good relations between the two countries, especially in economic cooperation. He expressed Indonesia's desire to work together in strengthening a global architecture that serves developing countries well. He explained that Indonesia is the country with the largest dynamic economy in the Southeast Asia region, with a track record of strong economic performance despite facing global challenges. He added that Indonesia also expressed encouragement for Brazil's G20 presidency this year. Meanwhile, Foreign Minister Mauro Vieira expressed his support for Indonesia's accession to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD. That was My Indonesia Today.
The time, fun and fake and lying. landed in no clouds. Zoom, zoom, on my way like a rocket. Nothing on my way that can stop it now. Me and my friends are tied. Everything feels alright. And a little bit of extra, this is rocket fiesta. Loving this life, so blessed. I feel the wave, I feel the love, I feel the energy. I'm on my way to better days. There ain't a thing that can stop me now. I'm sitting pretty, I'm enjoying the view. We're flying higher, higher. No stop, no quitting, going straight to the moon. We're flying higher, higher. Woke up hella grateful. Woke up hella grateful.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
VOI listener, when you travel to Lumajang, East Java, you must visit tourist village of Pronojiwo. You can enjoy a waterfall and a river at the same time. It is located in Pronojiwo village, about 50 kilometers from the city center. Being in the tourist village of Pronojiwo, enjoy the beauty of two waterfalls there, namely Kabut Pelangi Waterfall and Kapas Biru Waterfall. Kabut Pelangi Waterfall is sourced from the springs of Mount Sumeru. The height of the waterfall is about 75 to 95 meters. It is named Kabut Pelangi, which in English means rainbow mist, because in the morning, there is mist that forms a rainbow between two rocks in front of the waterfall. To reach this waterfall, you must first hike 1.4 kilometers. Then, there is Kapas Biru Waterfall. This waterfall is a collection of streams that are above it. It is named Kapas Biru, or in English means Blue Cotton Waterfall, because if you take a photo in this place, the waterfall will look like bluish cotton. The height of this waterfall reaches about 100 meters. In front of the waterfall, there is a camping area for tourists who want to camp. To reach this waterfall, you also have to hike 1.3 kilometers from the parking lot. In addition to waterfalls, Pronojiwa Village also has the Sumber Telu River attraction. This spot is several springs from the river flowing under the cliff, above Kapas Biru waterfall. Sumber Telu has clear and refreshing water. One of the beautiful photo spots is around the arrangement of stones that have been arranged, with the background of several springs that come out between the stones. It is named Sumber Telu because there are many sources of water flow in this river. To get here, you have to hike about 300 meters from the parking lot. For those of you who want to stay overnight in this tourist village, there are homestays in the style of hotels or luxury resorts. Well, listeners, that's Indonesian Wonder for today from Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Di Pulau Maratua. Di Pulau Maratua, which means in Maratua Island. You will listen to a conversation about
begitu indah,
which means breathtaking or very beautiful. The conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, with Sasa, a manager of a villa where Chris is staying in Maratua Island, Biro Regency, East Kalimantan Province. Chris expressed his admiration for the beautiful beach scenery from a floating villa above the sea. Let's listen to their conversation.
Selamat datang di villa kami. Ini kamar Anda, Pak Chris.
Terima kasih, Bu Sasa. Pemandangan dari kamar ini begitu indah.
Villa Terapung ini spot terbaik untuk menikmati indahnya Pulau Maratua.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic.
Begitu indah,
which means breathtaking. I will say it 2 times slowly, and please repeat after me.
Pemandangan,
which means scenery.
Dari kamar,
which means from the room.
Begitu indah,
which means breathtaking or very beautiful.
Terjadi,
which means happens.
Pemandangan dari kamar ini begitu indah,
which means the scenery from this room is breathtaking.
Selamat datang,
which means welcome.
Villa kami,
which means our villa.
Kamar Anda,
which means your room.
Villa Terapung,
which means floating villa.
Spot terbaik,
which means the best spot.
Untuk,
which means for.
Menikmati,
which means enjoy.
Indahnya,
which means the beauty of.
Pulau Maratua,
which means Maratua Island. In this conversation, you will listen the expression
Pemandangan dari kamar ini begitu indah,
which means the scenery from this room is breathtaking. There is an expression
Begitu indah,
which means breathtaking or very beautiful. There are 2 words,
begitu
and
indah.
The word
indah
means beautiful, while the word
begitu
means very, which in this case puts emphasis on the beauty of the scenery around the villa. Maratua Island is located in Biro Regency, East Kalimantan Province. Maratua Island is known for its maritime tourism. The beach has white sand, clear sea water, various marine animals, and beautiful coral reefs. Maratua Island is also known for its art events such as the Maratua Jazz and Dive Vista. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Selamat datang di villa kami. Ini kamar Anda, Pak Kris.
Terima kasih, Bu Sasa. Pemandangan dari kamar ini begitu indah.
Villa Terapung ini spot terbaik untuk menikmati indahnya Pulau Maratua.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about
begitu indah. Begitu indah,
which means breathtaking or very beautiful. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. I am Ahmad Faisal and
Ranov.
Sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's music corner presents a Malay song entitled Petuah Nasehat, which means advice, by Fadli Lubis. The song was composed by Jalidar Abdul Rahim. Just like the title, the lyrics of this Malay song contain good advice. For example, how we should think about everything first before speaking. Do not indulge in lust. Another piece of advice is that in life there must be happy and difficult. Life always has obstacles. Well, listener, let's enjoy the Malay song Petuah Nasehat by Fadli Lubis. Enjoy!
Pikir dahulu yang hendak Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voi Indonesia, email voi@voinews.id. Thank you.